Good morning. Welcome to this call regarding the 2019 results for Neoenergia. This presentation will be led by Mr. Mário Ruiz Tagle, the CEO of the company, and Mr. Leonardo Gadelha, the company's CFO. I'd like to remind you that we have a webcast of this call, which can be accessed live through ri.neoenergia.com. In the same website, you will find the presentation also regarding this call. All participants are connected as listeners only, and later on, we will start the Q&A session, and then we will give further instructions. This call is taking place in Portuguese, and there is simultaneous translation into English. If you need any assistance during the call, please ask for the help of an operator. You just have to dial asterisk zero. This call is being recorded, and we will make the recording available at the investor relations website of Neoenergia. This presentation was prepared by Neoenergia to show the general situation of the business. The information contained in this document have been prepared carefully. However, the information that you will listen to now reflect the moment when this information is consolidated, so the present conditions of Neoenergia and their perspective. This information is subject to change. This presentation should be seen together with the oral presentation done by Neoenergia executives and the company's financial results. Neoenergia cannot be held accountable by any loss directly or indirectly connected to the use of this presentation. This presentation belongs to Neoenergia, and it should not be reproduced, distributed, or published. It cannot be used for any purposes without previous written authorization by Neoenergia. We highlight that this presentation has statements that reflect perspectives on future events. These expectations include risks and uncertainties, and therefore, there can be results or consequences that are different from the ones here foreseen. I'd like to give the floor now to Mr. Mário Ruiz Tagle. Please, you can start.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much, operator. I'd like to thank you all for being part of this conference for the fourth quarter results of the Neoenergia group. I have here with me Leonardo, the CFO of the company, Solange Ribeiro, who is Deputy CEO, Eduardo Capelastegui, who's Planning Director, and also Renato Rocha, who is the Investor Relations Head at the company. I'm going to make a presentation on the main highlights of this period's results, and then Leonardo is going to present the consolidated results and per business units, and then we will move into a Q&A session and the final remarks. 2019 was very special for Neoenergia. We were publicly listed in B3 in São Paulo, and it brought historical results, landmark results that show that our business plan was very well executed, our strategy plan as well. It also shows the resilience of our business model based on regulated businesses. Let's move to slide four so that we show the highlights of the fourth quarter and the year of 2019. Operationally, it's important to highlight the growth of the market in our four distributors. Once again, they performed over the growth of the GDP of our country with an expansion of 4.4% in the fourth quarter and of 3.9% in 2019 as a whole. This was fostered by our greatest base of customers. In the last 12 months, this base of customers, we actually added 257,000 new units. We also have higher temperatures, and the economy is warming up in Brazil once again. The year also saw a decreasing rate of losses in our four distributors, which also shows the efficiency of our prevention initiatives. Regarding the expansion projects and transmission, 2019 was a year when we started delivering the projects that we won in the last public auctions. We would like to highlight the announcements that we did in recent months about the conclusion of Lot 20, that's Fernão Dias substation, and the Lot 27, which is the Sobral substation. Both of them we acquired in the April 2017 auction. For Lot 20, we delivered that with 14 months before schedule and 38% of reduction of CapEx when compared to the ANEEL parameters. Lot 27 was delivered 13 months beforehand, and we reduced CapEx by 33% when compared to the regulator's parameter. This shows our capacity to deliver value for our shareholders. For renewable business, 2019 was also an amazing result. First, we had the Baixo Iguaçu power plant, which added 350 MW of energy to our portfolio. We've also had the anticipated beginning of the works to build the wind park of Chafariz. It will add 471 MW starting in 2020. I'd also would like to highlight the approval by our board of administrators to build 12 wind farms at the Oitis complex. Starting 2022, it will add 566 MW of energy, mostly focusing on the free market. This good performance allowed us to obtain a net income of 618 million reais in the fourth quarter. That's 75% more than in the same period of 2018. Our net income in 2019 reached 2.2 billion reais, 45% above what we saw in 2018. This is the highest net income of Neoenergia in its entire history. Our EBITDA reached 1.5 billion reais in the fourth quarter of the year, increased by 43% when compared to the same period of 2018. In 2019 as a whole, EBITDA accumulated 5.7 billion. That's 26% more on a year-on-year basis. It's important to highlight that these results have been reached by improving the quality of service and by maintaining our costs discipline. This has allowed us to meet the needs of an increasing base of customers. We have 257,000 more customers added to our base in 2019, so we have constant gains of efficiency, and our costs are growing below inflation. We finished 2019 with a growth 3% above the previous year. That's lower than the inflation of the period. Inflation was 4.31% in the year when we consider the IPCA rating. We have some non-recurring also expenses such as the IPOs. The variation is actually 0% compared to 2018. It just shows our ability to control costs and expenses. I'd like to mention that due to a great cash volume and a better EBITDA, we deleverage the company. We finished 2019 with three times the net debt over EBITDA compared to 3.5x in 2018. This just shows how sound our business is from a financial perspective. Moving on to slide five now, we can see the evolution of our transmission projects. I'd like to highlight that we've had advances in our projects, and they are all within budget, and many of them will be delivered before schedule when compared to the business plan. That ensures the profitability. Regarding the lots that we won in the 2017 auction, we are building the towers, and we have cables for Lot 4. This is before the business plan, as I mentioned. As for Lots 20 and 27, we deliver them before schedule and way below the CapEx forecasted by ANEEL. As for Lot 22, we are in the commissioning phase, and we will soon communicate to the market the operations with costs that are below ANEEL's forecasts. Regarding the Lot 4 that was acquired in December 2017, we already have granted the equipment for the substations, and we have renewed our license to operate from the environmental agency, and this will be used in the execution of this project. We are working with construction companies Elecnor and Tabocas to build these lots. This specific lot 4 has an important perspective to be delivered before the business plan. As for lot 6 in the same auction, we have the license for installation, and our expectation is also to deliver it before the business plan. We also have a previous authorization by the environmental agency for another part of the same project. So that's all within our time schedule. For the December 2018 lots, the highlight is the delivery of the basic projects for lots 1, 2, 3, and 14, 3 months before planned. This allowed us to obtain the DUPs for all the lots. We've also obtained the license to installation of the Marmeleiros substation. That's from lot 14. In 2019, the construction for this substation began before the auction. The projects of this last auction have 70% of CAPEX with firm offers of price. So that will ensure the profitability. Finally, I'd like to highlight that in the December 2019 auction, we also acquired lot 9. It has 2 substations and 105 kilometers of line, double circuit lines. So that's 210 kilometers. The CAPEX foreseen by Enel is of 300 million reais. This is in the west region of the state of Bahia. It's highly relevant for Coelba. This will allow us to meet a growing demand in this area of our country. Moving on to slide 6, please. I'd like to mention the implementation of our wind parks. We have 15 wind parks in the state of Paraíba. It's the Chafariz complex. Their building process is at full throttle, so we are also ahead of our business plan. The wind park will add 471 megawatts, and 98% of CAPEX is already earmarked, and we have hired Iberobras and 2As, the building companies. They are highly seasoned in building wind parks. This complex should start operating in January 2022. We are fighting climate change, and we would like to say that in 2019, we approved building 12 wind parks that will start to operate mid-2022. They will add 566 megawatts to our capacity. 96% of their energy will be dedicated to the free market. This will serve end consumers, and it will ensure the participation of Neo Energia in this movement to free the energy market in Brazil. I'm very pleased to say that GE is our turbine supplier. We have models GE 158. It's a 5.5 gigawatts machine. It's a top quality machine. This will allow us to improve the energy generated by the Oitis complex. With the Oitis and Chafariz, when they start operating, Group Neo Energia will have half of its wind energy dedicated to the free market. Out of that, 25% has been commercialized for the years of 2022 and 2024 at an average price of 190 reais per megawatt. The implementation of the wind farms, is within schedule and within the budget stated in our business plan. I now give the floor to our CFO, Leonardo Gadelha. He will give further details of our financial results for the fourth quarter and for 2019 as a whole. Good morning. Thank you, Mario. It's a pleasure to be here talking about our 2019 results. This year was amazing for Neo Energia. So moving on to slide 8. Here you see our results for our consolidated results, and you see that in the fourth quarter, our gross margin grew by 26%. We reached 2.5 billion reais. That is the result of a very strong market for our 4 distributors, some price adjustments, and electros rates adjustments that took place in August. We had a 9.1 billion reais margin in the year, so that's an increase of 16%. This already includes the impact of IFRS 15 for our transmission lines. So the total for the year is 309 million reais. For the PMSO line, it grew by 7% in the fourth quarter. 895 million included non-recurring expenses that add up to 56 million in this quarter. These non-recurrent expenses are due to a punctual specific overlaying cost because we had to primarize some electricians. That's 15 million rise in the quarter. Then we have some labor issues with electro, which is equal to 29 million. This is also specific for this quarter, connected to some labor suits. And finally, we have some residual expenses from the IPO that is equal to 12 million in the quarter. So if we discount this effect, the variation would have been of 0.4% when we compare the quarters. In the year in 2019, the PMSO line grew by 3%, still below inflation, as Mario mentioned, and we've absorbed the growth of our 257,000 new customers. This is the net effect, okay? We do not consider the connections and that took place throughout the year. This is the net effect or impact of increasing our base of customers. This non-recurring impact represent 94 million reais. So if we don't consider them, the variation would have been 0%. And we've also had 28 million that are referring to the IPO expenses, and 11 million that are connected to the electro labor issues that took place in the third quarter of 2019, as we mentioned in our previous call. Slide nine now. We show PMSO results for the year. As expected, we saw an increase in our personal line. This is due to hiring over 600 electricians throughout 2019. But this was offset mostly by some savings in the MSO lines, as you can see in the slide. I'd also like to highlight other initiatives. We improved our efficiency. There are several initiatives with that goal. We would like to highlight the change of our health insurance plan for our employees. We switched to a new, cheaper policy in 2019. So there's an impact in costs, and we've seen that throughout 2019. And it also allowed us to reduce Coelba's passive or liability by 125 million reais. So that's a very positive impact for the financial results for Coelba and therefore for Neoenergia as well. So even if we have this greater base of customers, we grew below inflation. And if we don't consider non-recurring expenses, our costs remain the same as 2018. So it shows the efficiency of our cost management. On slide 10, you see our EBITDA. It reached 1.5 billion reais in the quarter, and in the year as a whole, 5.7 billion reais. So this is a growth of 43% in the quarter and 25% in the year. Our net income of 680 million in the quarter and 2.2 billion in the year. So that's a growth of 75% in the quarter. So that's a record growth for Neoenergia. Out of the EBITDA, 85% was generated by the network business, 10% by the renewable business, and 5% by the free market. Slide 11 talks about CapEx. We ended 2019 with a realized CapEx of 4.4 billion reais. We saw stronger pace for that in the fourth quarter due to the building of transmission lines and also to our renewable business. 90% of that was targeted at our networks business. 3.3 was targeted to distribution, and 1.6 was focusing on expansion. Out of our transmission projects, we've invested 596 million in 2019. For renewable energies, we've invested 321 million. 179 of those are for hydropower plants. We concluded the Baixo Iguaçu power plant, and we've invested 141 in the wind farms, with a highlight to the Chafariz project. As for the free market, we've invested 142 million. There was a programmed maintenance of the thermal Pernambuco plant. Let's look into business units or business areas on slide 13. Let's start with the network business. Here we include distribution and transmission. So you see the growth in volume that started in 2010, there was strong growth in our four distributors, as you see, all of them with growth above the GDP. I'd like to highlight Coelba. It grew by 6.1% in the year, and it grew by more than 8% in the fourth quarter. So it's quite an amazing result for Coelba, our greatest distributor. This growth was fostered by high temperatures in that region and by the beginning of the economic recovery in our country. When we look at previous years, we see that we have consistently grown above GDP even during the recession that we faced. On slide 14, we see a vision of distributed energy. It grew by 3.9% in the year, 4.4% in the quarter. As you can see, we've had growth in all areas and in the four distributors. So in all types and in the four distributors. 44% of our distributed energy throughout the year was for residential purposes, 21% was for commercial uses. And this has an influence of temperature and by the recovery of our economy. For industrial use, and also considering the free market, there was a growth caused by our economic recovery. And also in rural area, the growth was due to the demand for irrigation purposes because there was a drought in Brazil late last year. We also increased our base of customers by 257 new customers. So now we reach 14 million consumers, which is also a very, very important number for us. On slide 15, you see our losses. Throughout the year, we saw a decrease in all our four distributors. By the end of 2019, we had two distributors. One of them is Cosern and Electro. That was also inside that frame in August. As for Coelba, there was a strong growth in the fourth quarter of 2019, as we see almost 9% growth in demand due to high temperatures. This creates pressure on our losses, and still we managed to end the year closer to the regulatory target than we were a year before. At CELPE, we still face our main challenge. We maintain the same loss percentage compared to 2018, in spite of the growing demand in the state of Pernambuco. On slide 16, we see our quality indicator, the DEC. It's measured in hours of unavailability. So this indicator has evolved in all distributors, and they're all within regulatory boundaries. This happens at the same place that we reviewed some processes, which led to a reduction in costs and also increased our operational quality. On slide 17, same vision, but now we look at the frequency indicator, the frequency of issues or incidents. So all four distributors still below regulatory requirements. Slide 18, our gross margin for our network business increased by 31% in the fourth quarter and 22% in 2019. This was caused by the captive market plus the free market. There's also a positive effect of the reviews and price changes. In 2019, we had some electro issues, and last year Coelba and Cosern also changed their prices, so which also helped us. This has been beneficial to us, the Cosern and Coelba price changes. In the fourth quarter, we had an impact of IFRS 15, which meant 194 million in the quarter and 309 million reais in 2019 as a whole, as you see in the graph in our gross margin. As for PMSO, as mentioned, we are still internalizing our electricians, and this will reduce our MSO costs. Of course, we have an increase in personnel, but this is offset by reducing MSO costs. If we disregard non-recurring impacts, which were of 43 million reais, and in the year, 54 million reais. This increase, if we don't consider the non-recurring effects, the increase was of 2% in the quarter and 1.4% in the year, so way below inflation, and we managed to take care of this increase in our base of customers. Slide 19 now. Due to everything I've mentioned, we grew in the network business by 43%, our EBITDA, right? We reached 1.4 billion in the quarter and 5 billion in the year. So that's a 35% growth. As for net income, it grew by 60% in the fourth quarter. We reached 686 million reais, and in the year, we grew by 51%, reaching 2.2 billion reais. Slide 21 shows the results for renewable energies. So that's the result of hydropower plants and wind farms. So we can see a growth in our EBITDA. We ended the quarter with 126 million reais. And for the year, the total result is 634 million reais. Here on the right-hand side, you see the EBITDA between hydropower plants and wind farms. This is explained by the beginning of operations of Baixo Iguaçu plant, a hydropower plant that had a positive impact. And as for the wind farms, there was a negative impact by the selling of energy at the MCSD in 2018 at a price higher than the PPA. And wind levels in 2019 were a bit lower when compared to 2018. Net income was 64 million in the quarter and 269 million in the year. So there was an increase of 7.5%. Slide 23, free market. Our EBITDA decreased both in the quarter and in the year, as we had mentioned in our previous calls. This was caused by our commercializing partner. In 2018, it benefited from the sales in the free market, both from wind and hydropower. There's also Termo Pernambuco with higher generation rates when compared to 2019 and full capacity in 2019. However, this did not offset the poor results of commercialization. So our net income in the quarter was of 32 million reais, and in the year, our net income was of 89 million reais. So this is a decrease of 26% when compared to the previous year. Slide 25, our capital structure. It was quite a positive year. We reduced our leveraging from 3.5 times to 3 times. There was a strong work in liability management. We reduced our costs and we prolonged our debt. Now the average duration is above 4 years. So we have a sound balance. We're quite comfortable. Only 50% of our debt is short term, and our cash position is over 4 billion. If we add the credit lines that we've already hired, this number will reach 10 billion reais in total available. And this causes no negative impact whatsoever to the company. It means no cost to Hidroenergia. In 2019, we were quite active in the debt market. Besides assuring the needs of our operational companies, we started funding for our transmission and wind projects, and we managed to do that in very favorable conditions. In 2019, if we looked into hired operations and those the ones that we paid for, we reached 10 billion reais. And I'd like to highlight some of those initiatives. We have the green debenture Neoenergia. We did it simultaneously with the IPO process. That was in mid-2019. We reached 1.3 billion reais. With the BNDES, if we add the transmission and wind operations, because we financed the Chafariz farm, we hired 2.5 billion reais of credit with BNDES. Then we have BNB with a lower volume, 250 million. It's an important line for us. And finally, we have a credit line of 250 million euros with the BEI. It's the European Investment Bank. This is mostly focusing on financing the Oitis farm. This will ensure half of our funding needs for this Oitis farm under very favorable conditions for us. So that's how I close my presentation, and I kindly ask the operator now to open for the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial asterisk one. If you don't want to ask the question, dial asterisk two, star two. First question is from Caíque Vasconcelos from the Safra Bank.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. First is the captive market volume, the results for the fourth quarter. As you mentioned in the call, this is due to high temperatures and recovery of the economy. Can you give us some expectations for 2020? Do you see this trend moving on to the next year? How was January? And I have a second question about losses. About Coelba specifically. Can you tell us a bit about your strategy for losses at Coelba so that we are closer to regulatory levels? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Caíque, for your question. Regarding the market, our expectation is that we will go on seeing what has been a tradition in the Northeast region of Brazil: growth above GDP. Forecasts for GDP in Brazil are about 2%, and we believe that the market will be above 2%, above this forecast. We, in the first month of this year, we see this trend. So our expectation is to grow above the GDP. As for losses or energy theft, so to speak, this is a never-ending task. We learn as we go from the experiences we have, and we are increasing our surveillance projects. Last year, we did a huge effort at CELPE, which was quite successful in the state of Pernambuco. We will use the same strategy in the other areas of the company, and we will also improve investments in protecting our network in areas we believe are important for us, and that will bring us high returns so that we accelerate the evolution of Coelba so that we reach regulatory demands.
Thank you very much.
Next questions come from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. You talked a bit about costs, 56 million non-recurring costs you mentioned that had a negative impact in your consolidated results. Can you explain us a bit about the Coelba performance? We see that PMSO specifically, when we look at PMSO, when we compare to previous quarters, and even in the third quarter, there was a negative pressure. If you could just explain a bit more about Coelba's results, were there any non-recurring costs here that we can maybe remove from the math? And can you give us a bit of trends on what you intend to do throughout the year, year on year? What can be expected to 2020 regarding costs performance? Do you have any projects you intend to do regarding Coelba to improve on costs? Last quarter, you mentioned internalizing your workforce, your electricians. Can you tell us a bit more about that, please?
Thank you, Carolina, for your question, and good morning. We have Eduardo here with us, Eduardo Capelastegui, our Chief Planning Officer, and he will answer your question on the non-recurring costs that affected our results.
Good morning, Carolina. As Leonardo mentioned, in the fourth quarter, we had a lower volume, 56 million. As for Coelba specifically, as to your question, this was about 10 million of non-recurring costs in this quarter. This is explained by the privatization process. As you well know, we are implementing the so-called Package 2, the greatest volume. And early in the stages, it's unavoidable to have some double costs because we hire electricians, and as they are being trained, we still have the other electricians working. So that means 10 million of overlaid costs. If we don't consider them, the increase would be of 5.5 or 6% in the quarter. Coelba in the last quarter had an OpEx quite high for the quarter, above other quarters. So removing this 10 million impact, the growth of OpEx for Coelba was reasonable when compared to the rest of the market. Thinking about the rest of the year, throughout 2020, we will go on implementing what the so-called Package 2. We want to hire 2,000 electricians for the four distributors throughout this year. So we will manage to finish implementing Package 2 in 2020. There are some double costs still in 2020, 30, 40 million reais. This is foreseen in our profitability calculations, and we will follow up closely on that. But that's the rationale for Coelba results in the quarter. It's important to highlight, Carolina, that in the year, the PMSO performance for Coelba was excellent. Including non-recurrent, we reduced our PMSO by 2% in the year, and this was focused mostly on the fourth quarter. So the overlaid costs in the fourth quarter due to the privatization process. Thank you very much. Can I ask a second question, actually? Last week, we saw that MMEnel publicized a list of projects that are registered to be part of the auction for thermal power plants, and we see the Thermal Pernambuco is included in this list. Can you comment a bit on that strategy? Are you considering to be part of this auction, public auction process with a thermal power plant? As we all know, in 2023, there will be no contract anymore. So is the goal to close this gap, maybe? And if that is the case, do you have any idea of CapEx for the retrofit of this thermal plant to be part of the auction process?
Well, Carolina, yes, as you mentioned, we did register Thermal Pernambuco for this auction that will take place in April. And in 2024, as you mentioned, this contract will end, and we are looking for alternatives to make this feasible because it's quite profitable, actually. And it's very important for the northeast region of Brazil. So we have this power plant registered for the auction, for the A4 and A5 auction, and we want to be part of it.
Fortunately, it's highly competitive. The thermal Pernambuco is highly competitive because it does not need additional investments to go on operating, except for, the natural aspects of a thermal power plant. In 2019, actually, we did an important overhaul for our equipment. So now we don't need to do any additional investments other than the regular maintenance of a thermal power plant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Marcelo Brito from Citibank.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. I'd like to go back to two points: losses and delinquency. First, on losses. On losses, when we go back to the numbers you presented for the fourth quarter, can you explain in further detail what happened to your losses? The captive market, when we looked at consolidated results, it grew by 291 gigawatts hour year-on-year, and loss grew by 116. When we look at Coelba, the market grew 260. Celpa, the market went down and the losses went up. What happened? I just wanted to understand in further detail, what is the impact of these losses? Why did they grow in percentage terms more than in the captive market?
Marcelo, thank you for your question. Our feeling is that the phenomenon that takes place right now, well, it's the end of the year. Of course, it's a warmer time of the year, higher temperatures in Brazil. So residential consumption, household consumption increases. And that's when we see air conditioning working. So that's one of the explanations for these markets, most of all for the captive market. When a temperature goes up, there is an increase in losses connected to electric consumption for these purposes, air conditioning and so on.
Okay, perfect. My second question is on delinquency. There was an increase on delinquency in the quarter. I suppose this is due to a reassessment of the energy receivables for energy. What is the seasonality of that? So next year, the fourth quarter of 2020, will that happen as well? Is that the new delinquency level that you have, the new normal for delinquency? Is it seasonable?
I'm sorry, you can move on with the answer. I'm sorry. So Eduardo Capelastegui will give you the answer on delinquency rates.
Thank you, Marcelo, for your question.
Yes, indeed. You probably noticed an increase of PCLD in the fourth quarter. There is a non-recurring effect that will not be repeated. Up until now, until the fourth quarter, we made our forecast due to three aspects. The three different types of clients have different behaviors. So we checked their behaviors for the last months. In the fourth quarter, we added another dimension when we take into account legal issues. But this is a more complicated payment, of course. And in the fourth quarter, we've implemented a new methodology because we believe it's more accurate, more precise. And that led us to have an extraordinary out-of-the-curve provision. So for the provision of the fourth quarter, 30 million reais were extraordinary, and they will not be repeated. So that's 332 million, and the provision, it should have been 300. And that's the standard of our group from now on. 300 million growing according to inflation rates. So next year, maybe 320 million.
we are doing a bit better compared to the rest of the market. But yes, we did have those 30 million, which was extraordinary to implement this fourth profile of customer, which is quite different from the rest, and they need to be treated differently. So now we take into account four profiles of customers. So that clarifies this increase that you've observed, Marcelo. So in the fourth quarter of 2020, should I expect you to assess the REM once again?
No. This quarter, our legal portfolio for 540 million is now subject to a new criteria. We had to adjust the portfolio. So now it's just doing this work from now on, the same work. This method is already implemented. So in the fourth quarter of this year, this will not be foreseen anymore. We have done this work already. We just have to consider inflation impacts.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, operator. I just wanted to clarify to Marcelo. This fourth profile allow us to be more accurate in our collection methods, in our collection tools, because we have different collection tools for each profile of clients. So the results in terms of debt collection is much better. This visibility allows us to have some gains when we have our anti-delinquency policies.
Can I ask then with my final question, operational leveraging. You mentioned that higher temperatures increases volumes, and there was some losses related to that as well. Well, the economy is recovering, right? Are you gonna follow the market? Because now your losses are growing more than the market.
Well, due to temperatures, this is a technical loss, okay? When increased temperatures, there's a limit to that. There's a cap to that. It should not go up any further because we had a considerable growth of that in the last quarter.
Thank you, Mario.
Next questions come from Henrique Peretti from JPMorgan.
Good morning. I have a question connected to Carolina's question about the thermal electric plants auction. It's a 15-year auction, but the authorization finishes in 2030. Are you counting on renewing your license? How is that contract gonna work with this deadline?
Thank you for your question, Henrique. Yes, we are considering renewing the authorization for this thermal power plant. Of course, it's not very complex. It can be solved, and yes, we are looking at that.
Thank you.
We have a question from Pedro Manfredini from Goldman Sachs.
Thank you, everyone. My first question is connected to CapEx and the PMSO debate and the losses debate. You've been doing quite an intense work in investing in distributors, most of all in the northeast of Brazil. Regarding your costs and your losses, when will this CapEx be translated into a greater operational efficiency when it comes to OpEx and losses? I know that most of your CapEx is focused on new connections, most of all in Coelba, but I suppose you will also focus on some investments that can have an impact on PMSO and losses. Can you give us some more detail on that in terms of OpEx and losses?
My second question is about transmission. When we compare the auction moment, when you join the auction, and now you are already investing in building. Can you see any type of difference in terms of CapEx or your timeline? Do you have any data for investment and operation that you have today? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro.
Yes, our business plan has the goal of investing in these concession lines. Most of the investments we do is to expand our network, to connect the 257,000 new customers. In 2018, 250,000 new customers. And in 2020, we have also the same expectation, 250,000 new customers. So the CapEx for expansion considers the most efficient execution for our operations, of course. And that's what we are doing for Lot 2 or Package 2, which is internalizing our electricians. We also want to have our own fleet, operational bases. This will be incorporated into our operations and into our network so that we can do maintenance. The CapEx that we had for the previous cycle is bringing the results that we've seen in efficiency. So last year, we invested 320 million reais for on efficiency, which allowed us to reduce our PMSO standard. And these specific effects were almost excluded, so the non-recurring effect. So we had expenses with the IPO. As you know, it costs a lot of money. This is not going to repeat itself in 2020. So we managed to keep at the same 2018 levels for expenses. Neoenergia is such a large company, and we've invested a lot. As you know, the growth and demand, the number of new customers, if we consider all that, the 0% level is a show of efficiency. So we are bringing results. It's important to highlight that this takes place, improving the quality of our company. Our DEC is improving, our FEC is improving. We are still within regulatory boundaries, and there is improvement in fighting losses. As we mentioned, late last year, we had an increase in losses. We knew there was a seasonable impact of that. But for us, it's really important to look at the year average. Of course, we are looking into new forms of investment that will allow us to go on protecting ourselves from losses, protecting our networks and our distribution. So we really have to pick well the areas and the clients where we will invest. As for the transmission projects, when we did the IPO process, our expectations are of reducing CapEx of about 20%-30% by about 20% or 30% when compared to annual standards, and reducing the deadlines by about 12 or 18 months. In some specific lots, we will deliver before schedule. So when we look at our firm contracts, our firm price offerings, our expectation is quite high. We want to reduce the CapEx that we had foreseen for our business model. And I can tell you that the profitability that we have forecasted for our investments, we will reach it. As for transmission, actually, let me ask another question. The CapEx, part of it is in renewing assets. Do you expect at any point to report new investments to reform your network? Is that in your business plan?
renewing your network. We know that this can be hard. Is that included in your business plan somehow?
Well, Pedro, as I told you, we are focusing on expanding our network. This is the core of our investments. But of course, we do have some networks that we have that are more outdated, and we are considering investing around 100 million reais in those. Now, regarding distribution or transmission, for the auction, how was it at the time of the auction, and how is it now at the early investment stage? Are you adhering to plan? Are you on plan? Did anything change between the auction and the execution?
Well, we have the funding conditions, and I can tell you that these numbers are public, the funding numbers, and they are much better than what we had forecasted before. Of course, the Brazilian market helps as a whole. As for deadlines, when we look at what delivered, we know that we will reduce the deadline for delivery of the projects. For future lots, the expectations follow the same lines. We are on schedule and sometimes before schedule. As for CapEx, we have no negative situation, quite the opposite, but positive. And our expectation is to reach the forecasted profitability, even higher, probably higher profitability.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'd like to remind you that if you want to ask questions, you have to dial star one to ask your questions.
Next question comes from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse.
Yes, please. I would like to ask another question about the gas auctions and thermal power plants. When we look at gas, do you intend to work with Petrogas as a provider? Is there competitiveness with the original supplier, which was Petrobras? Are you looking into maybe alternative possibilities? Is that possibility on the table? Some companies are thinking about building their own terminals, even for natural gas. How does it look for you guys? I would just like to know how thermal power plants are competitive. Petrobras is providing gas at maybe more interesting prices, or do you intend to go for alternative suppliers?
Well, Carolina, you can ask, fire your questions away. Don't worry. Regarding thermal power plants, of course, gas supply is something we have to look carefully at. It's really key for the competitiveness and the cost structure of the power plant. We are looking at all alternatives, national gas alternatives, and maybe some other providers of imported gas by using infrastructure that we can build or that third parties can build. We are looking at all alternatives, and we have full support and in-depth knowledge of Iberdrola that is highly seasoned in that business. We understand that the gas market has to change, and the first big change will happen in this first auction. That's when we will see if the cheap gas policy in Brazil will go on. We hope it will. That's our expectation. Having a thermal power plant such as Termopernambuco is positive, not just from the plant perspective itself, but the operational perspective. We are breaking records, 120 days at full production. So this shows the quality of this asset, and we are sure that this asset is valuable. We need to manage to get good gas prices.
So when we look into future contracts, that will be important.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Next question comes from Jemerson Oliveira at CELPE. What is the perspective of growth of the Neoenergia group for 2020?
Well, the growth perspective for 2020 for the group. Well, our business is based, and our EBITDA is based a lot in the distribution business, as you know. Our expectations are that the market will grow in Brazil above GDP. So forecast for GDP is of around 2.2%-2.3%. And our history has shown that we are always above this percentage. Last year, we grew by 4%, and the GDP was at 1% levels. And we are looking at similar levels for this year, around 4-5%. Of course, it depends on the Brazilian economy. Not all conditions are under our control, but our cost discipline, our efficiency, investment efficiency discipline, is very severe. We have very granular control over what is in our hands, but of course, growth is also subject to the conditions of the market. So we would like to end the Q&A session right now, and I'll give the floor to Mr. Mario Ruiz-Tagle for his final remarks. You can go on, Mr. Mario.
Thank you, operator, once again. Thank you all for joining us in this call. If you could move to slide 27, please, for our final remarks. I'd like to highlight our commitment to all stakeholders, all of our stakeholders. We are very loyal to our values, very much committed to creating value for our shareholders. We are always looking at sound growth in a regulated business. We are sure that we are giving results and we've delivered growth. We will go on doing that. Please rest assured that our cost discipline is very valuable for us. It's very important for us, and we will be relentless in building a more and more efficient group, in presenting and providing quality services for our clients. We will also remain firm in our loss reduction plan. We know that this is a complex area, but we are seasoned, and we have the right team and the right resources to keep on fighting losses. We will also be relentless in investing in reducing our losses for 2020. We have sound perspectives to improve in that sense as well. So we will go on implementing our transmission projects, our wind farm projects, and we will deliver before schedule and with costs below what was forecasted in the business plan. We are also very much aware of the importance to strengthen our capital structure, which will allow us to deliver the results. And Neoenergia is also making an effort to focus on sustainable growth. We value our talent, we are committed to the areas under our responsibility, and we are committed to the responsible use of other resources. So we have huge challenges ahead of us for 2020, but I can state that we have a lot of energy to deliver on the results that we've promised. Our team is very engaged with our growth, and we're providing value for all our shareholders. Thank you very much, and I wish you all an excellent day. This webcast, this call is over. We thank you for your participation and have a great day. Thank you for using Chorus Call.